This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
We have our next guest in the studio with us. We've got Brendan Cooney, who's the program manager for Midsummer. Welcome to the show, Brendan.
Thanks very much.
Now, Brendan, before we start off talking about Midsummer, which is obviously coming up very soon, a little bit about yourself. Now, you just mentioned you're fairly new to the Midsummer, but so what have you been doing? I suppose, how did you become a program director? How did you get the gig? Basically,
it was a bit of a long journey around, I guess. I was in Melbourne in the 90s. I ran a nightclub at the Palace, ran a series of dance parties, a run dance party, which used to happen on spring every year. I decided I wanted a bit more theatrical experience. Went to Brisbane, did some study, started working on Brisbane Festival, did major festivals for about 14, 15 years. Came back to Melbourne about a month before lockdown and got locked down for 2 years. And I was interviewed for a different role at Midsummer, and this role became available last year in November. So I skated through very late with the program last year, and we had a very successful year. And they've invited me to stay on.
Right. Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, the program manager role is how much do you actually program in the show? Because a lot of it is just everyone just, applying.
Yeah, a lot of it's an open access. Yep. So this year we've got about 225 events. About 150 of those would be open access. Midsummer has invested in and produces some. We've got around 42 shows this year that we've invested in. On top of that, we got some additional money from the government for a program called Ignite Melbourne, where we've got six different queer companies and artists doing public activations across from now through to the end of the festival across the Melbourne CBD area.
So right. Oh, excellent.
Quite a heavy amount of presenting work, I guess. Not yep. necessarily a lot of the producing work, but certainly investing and trying to increase accessibility through shows and programs and supporting that.
Yeah. And because I was part of Midsummer, which I mentioned off air, the Art Hunter was part of Midsummer last year, and it is good, there is the safety net there along the way, but you'd still do the bulk of the stuff yourself, but there was a hand there if you wanted it. But I'm a smart ass. I thought I knew everything, so I tried to do it all myself. But it is a wonderful thing and a great opportunity for so many people within the arts to put their finger in the pond and see what can come.
Absolutely. Listen, that's why we're there. We're there to uncover and to, I guess, put a bit of a spotlight on queer story, LGBTQIA stories, all of those. We're a very lean team. We do have some resources there to assist with people that produce, but as a very lean team, we do our best within that.
Yeah.
But we try and focus then on other areas that we can get a bit more of a focus. We have a wonderful mentor program there for artists with disability. We're in our third cohort of that, 14 mm-hmm. fantastic artists.
Yep.
So we work with lots of different parts of community. Yep.
Well, that was heavily influenced last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, we had a program that looked at the intersectionality between queer arts and disability. And in fact, I had about five or six shows that we produced last year to that end. A couple of those didn't go ahead last year. We've got a beautiful one coming back this year with Asphyxia and Beck Matthews and Sarah Ward. Asphyxia is a deaf artist, so it's following that progress of how a profoundly deaf artist can make music with the assistance of other musicians.
That's
going to be at Abbotsford Convent. That'll be a beautiful journey.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. Now, of course, we all know about Midsummer. It opens with Carnival, and Carnival is a huge event, isn't it?
Carnival is massive, and in fact, we've got a little bookend Midsummer's Eve event this year, Arts Centre Melbourne. Melbourne are putting on the wonderful Extravaganza again. And as opposed to doing it at Arts Centre Melbourne, it'll be at the Sydney My Music Bowl this year.
Brilliant.
So we open up with a beautiful evening of showcasing queer arts there and a bit of a nod to Miss Candy.
Yep.
And then we kick off with Carnival, which, as you said, massive event. One of our biggest last year. It turned very quickly within the year from being an event that, you know, was probably not deemed all that safe COVID-wise. And then by the time we put it on, it was very clear that open-air events were the safest.
Yeah.
Probably the first that I'd seen that year where masks were off and that the joy on people's faces as they walked into that park, even though it was 38 degrees, was a really special day and one that, you know, as everyone knows, goes back a little decades.
Yeah, and it really is, you know, like, as you said, the night before, or the Friday night, it's the Friday night at My Music Bowl.
No, Carnival's on Sunday, so we've got the Arts Centre Melbourne one on the Saturday, the 21st.
Saturday night, right. Yeah. You know, it is one of those things that really does bring, you know, like Melbourne's LGBT plus organisations together and just people. It's just a wonderful melting pot for everyone to be there and enjoy the day, isn't
it? It's different to Mardi Gras. It's a wonderful sense of community. I think it's about visibility, but it's also about obviously coming together. And in a safe space, just being really celebratory with all the different members of all of our vast communities, as well as our straight allies.
Yeah, and the good thing is that Pride March is now part of Midsummer, which it wasn't up until I think it was taken over a couple of years ago. And then a Victoria Pride, which is it happened last year over in Smith Street,
correct,
in Collingwood, and around the corner from your place, Neil. So you know, like, and that's back again, which is fantastic to see.
That was great last year, and what a wonderful nod to 40 years of decriminalisation of homosexuality, which was let's take to the streets and have a wonderful celebration. I think it caught everyone's imagination by surprise. I got COVID after Pride March, and I had to sit Victoria's Pride out. But yeah, the government at the end of that and a lot of public support have come back and assured that we'll run that event for the next 3 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, great bookends to that, great celebrations. It has its own team that works on that. They do a lot of community outreach, particularly in that area, a lot of work with First Nations and other storeholders and business owners in the area. So we get to shine a bit of a light in St Kilda and shine a bit of a light over the north side as well.
Yeah. Dan Andrews said that. He said when he opened the Pride Centre here in St Kilda, he actually said, now we're not forgetting the other side. And that's when, you know, like the first one was announced that it was going to happen. But what I love about it is, and you mentioned the Arts Centre, and they've been heavily involved in only about the last 4 or 5 years, but they've got a whole program now, haven't they? And there's so many places like there's Gasworks, of course,
we've got Abbotsford Convent. That's a great venue, we can't do what we do without the Motley Bauhaus. With Ollie, there's done great work. We can't do what we do without the great support of some of the wonderful institutions here in Melbourne.
Yep,
and certainly following on from the lead of NGV last year as they did Queer, and we did some activations there. We'll continue that, and actually, they announced during the year that we would be one of the three queer arts organisations, including Minus 18 and the Queer Archives, that NGV will continue to work with on a yearly basis. So it's wonderful. These institutions are really just normalising everything that we do.
And, of course, they've got a major exhibition opening next week.
They do.
Which is advertising in the guide as well.
Alexander NGV, McQueen, fantastic,
They're doing wonderful things. But, you know, like, shine a little bit of a spotlight on a couple of things that you want to get across to us.
Yeah, great. I think we talked a little bit about the other show, the Asphyxia show. It's called Stranger Than Usual. It's the one of the experience of writing music as a deaf artist. We tried to get that produced last year as part of Andor, but as artists tended to come out of COVID last year, some had bitten off more they could chew into the future, and some people, everything was happening and people were trying to get everything in order to see what they could actually produce and what they couldn't. That was one that we couldn't get up last year, but certainly coming back this year. Another work, an exhibition work this year at Immigration Museum between the 29th of January and 12th of February is The Body is More Than This, a show curated by Kim Francis. And it's a work that looks at various narratives from five artists that identify as gender diverse and non-binary, including some artists like Caleb Thaiday, Indra Lasari, and they'll do an exhibition down there that looks at what a new body is, or what's a new way of seeing past the body's borders, particularly for trans people. We've got some great work coming out of our mentorship program. We run a wonderful mentorship program with disabled artists, and we've got two shows there. One, Sarah Carroll, which is doing a show, and also another one from Ben McKellen, Trans Mansplaining. Ben's a trans artist, and we'll be up on stage recounting their story. There's some of the big ones. We have a great relationship with Museum Victoria, and they do a series called Nocturnal, which is when they open their doors to the museum over nighttime, where we have a date with them on the 10th of February, where DJ Kitty Glitter will be coming down and being part of that, and we're just securing the band for that. The museum brings out a whole series of things that somehow link to queer stories. So there are tours, there are things to see in the gallery, there's great entertainment, so that's another wonderful one that we do. And the Queer Playwriting Awards showcase is down at Gasworks, as you mentioned, is a wonderful way for queer playwrights to submit their works and potentially get up, be one of the four or five to be chosen to be showcased in front of a live audience to receive some feedback. We then choose one. We chose two last year, but usually one to champion, I guess, to get it to stage and then hopefully tour it around the country.
Yeah, and God, what an opportunity that is. And, of course, you know, like we're talking about the different sort of hubs per se. Mm. And over, you know, like the West Side, is so much goes on over there. Absolutely. These days, doesn't it?
Pride of Our Footscray do an amazing array of work over there. We are working harder in the West, and the government is certainly working harder in the West. We'll have probably something, hopefully something to announce in the next few months about a project that we're focusing in the West region as well.
Mm. And you launched it, it was just last week. What's the feedback? What's the feeling like? Because last year we were coming out of COVID, and then there was a bit of a COVID scare in January this year. We seem a lot more free, even though COVID hasn't disappeared, but there's a lot more positive vibe, isn't there?
I guess there's a little less uncertainty. Certainly last year while we were programming things like Carnival, you know, the cry would go out through the office every second day, really, with a cancellation of a show or someone who was due to appear at Carnival. There is more of a feeling of certainty, I guess, both of putting on a show, but also being able to get audiences there to see. These shows aren't cheap to produce. You know, people need some certainty, I guess, that they're going to get an audience and the audience is going to turn up. So we certainly feel a bit more confident about that this year. And I guess for all of our events, we're certainly looking forward to big numbers turning out this year and getting back to pre-COVID.
And music seems to be playing a big part these days in our community as well. You know, like 5 or so years ago, that you wouldn't have got much music per se, where, you know, like, of course, there'd be cabaret and whatever, but music is playing a big part these days.
Music's coming back, yeah, which is great. That again relies on, you know, music's quite expensive to produce and put on stage too, so it's about having a surety of the venues and the space that you need, as well as the size. We have a great peer festival run by April Huggins, which is a real focus on female artists. That's, I think, in the second or third year that's happening. So, yeah, we've got, listen, there's so much in the program is music, performance, arts, cabaret.
Hey, it's so thick.
It's a chunky one.
Yeah, it's a chunky one. And yeah, like you just think to yourself, there is so much queer art out there, which we see in the Fringe Festival. And we do a lot of the interviews on Sunday Arts, and we'll be doing a lot within this as well. But it's just so exciting to hold this program and know it's just chock-a-block full of
that much material, I know. I worked in Mardi Gras late 90s, and there was obviously a festival up there of arts, but nothing to the extent of what you know, we've been able to work with artists to pull together for this program.
Oh, and absolutely. I've lived in Sydney a couple of times, and I actually even freelanced for Mardi Gras for a couple of those years. But, you know, like, you really feel that it's a real arts festival here in Melbourne, along with a lot of great parties and good times as well.
Yeah, it's a wide array, isn't it? Yeah, you're right, though. The Sirius Theatre, right through to the parties. There's a fabulous scene here. And I mean, as I get older and older, when I was younger, I thought, I'll find that scene again in different places around the world. As you get older, you realise Melbourne's quite unique in the way that it supports not just artists, but people, communities and things like that. It's truly unique.
Yep.
So we want to capitalise on that. Mm. We want to keep giving people the support that they need, keep providing the safer spaces and the brave spaces for people to come up, tell their stories and continue to develop those stories.
Now, the program's out, as you know, and there's copies here at Joy, and they're downstairs at the Pride Centre front desk as well. Bookings are open now.
Midsummer.org.au. You can get on there for tickets now. And remember that around 40%, I think, of all the shows that are come out through Midsummer Festival are free. Mm. So there's a lot of that around too. But yeah, tickets definitely on sale. You've got a lot going on at the Pride Centre. Yep. Thomas Jasper's curated a massive program down here. There's something happening every day of the week.
Yep, fantastic. And go out there and support people. We're always telling everyone on this show to go out and support the arts, but Midsummer is, our festival, and we've really got to get out there and support it. Thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting us in today.
No problems. Thank you so much. We've been talking to Brendan Cooney here, and the program director for Midsummer here on Joy 94.9 Sunday afternoon.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.